Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. And speaking of getting it on, Mr. Skin, a rare in the flesh, in the skin edition of Mr. Skin. I usually just speak to you over the phone.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever met you in person. It's a big thrill. Thank you. Thanks for having me in.
My pleasure. Now, you're based out of where?
Chicago.
And I'm fascinated with this business. Essentially, you did what we all did growing up and turned it into a cottage industry.
I mean, yeah, I think I did a little more extreme than most. I mean, as a kid, there was like this convergence of technologies. In 1980, I was in high school, mm-hmm. and we were the first people on in our whole community to get cable television. Mm-hmm. And a Betamax. Like, it all kind of happened at
wow.
the same time.
You're so, like Elvis.
Well, I'm a little kid in the 70s dying to see nudity. I got ABC, sure. NBC, CBS, maybe a public television thing.
It was so brutal and such a pussy and booby drought when we were kids that when, like, PBS would show I, Claudius.
Sheila White, naked.
A 14-part miniseries with not a ton of nudity, but the point is there was nudity on TV. Everyone would have to huddle around the set going, I'm watching I, Claudius. So now you have a 13-year-old watching I, Claudius on PBS just to see a boobie.
It happened in 1976, and I was one of those people. And you also got to understand this. Not only did you have to watch, like, 13 episodes to see 12 seconds of nudity. We didn't have a way to tape it. So
no.
You had to, like, totally concentrate on the scene. You couldn't blink. You had to really concentrate. It was a crazy time.
I feel like I really got screwed here too, because way back in the mid-80s, I had an idea for a website called Mr. Sack. And it was I evidently had misjudged a market. And I really should have focused on the female. And I, you know what? It's a sad story, and I don't want to bore you with the details.
A sad sex story. A
handful of investors lost a little cash. That's all I'm saying. Mr. Sack just did not. I had misgauged the American public just a little bit. But so you started in what year?
Well, I launched the website. It's actually, we just had our 10-year anniversary, August 10th of 1999 was when I launched the website. But mm-hmm. prior to that, for, you know, 20 years, I was the guy, the fun guy at parties where all the friends would come up to me and quiz me on actresses, and I'd answer them off the top of my head
right.
what movies they were naked in, where in the movie it happened. And then I was working at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and it got to the point where everyone in the pits knew that I was this guy that had this skill. So they would send runners over. They'd write down an actress, you know, mm-hmm. Ashley Judd, and I'd write down, you know, Norma Jean of Maryland or da-da-da, and hand it back to the, you know, there was a lot of downtimes in the pits. So,
sure.
So, you know, I was doing this for fun, and then one day I just, by happenstance, kind of like you, was able to get on a radio show, and people started to hear about this, and somebody came up to me and said, you know, you should put what's in your head into a website, and this was 1998.
Right.
I didn't even know what a website was. That was sure. what I said to him. I go, what's a website? But I quit my job. I raised a little money, spent 6 months in a studio apartment in Chicago, inputting data into this database, and we launched the website.
So how does it work in terms of the legality part? I know I ask you this every time, yeah. but I never really can wrap my mind around it. You're showing clips from things that are copywritten, right, and protected and everything. Do you ever get in trouble for it? Is it just free advertising for them? Have you ever been contacted by an actress or an actress's attorney saying, pull this thing off your website?
Right. Well, let's start from the beginning. When I first was raising money to do the website, I had the same questions you're asking
sure.
me. I said, like, I have this idea for the site, but I don't want it to get shut down in 3 months after I raise some
right.
money, quit my job. How can I do it? And I went to an attorney in Chicago, an IP attorney, and they were very clear. It has to be a review site. It has to be a website that is news information. You have to rate
intellectual property
right. attorney. In other words, if you go to our website, there's writing, there's reviews. We don't just throw the nude scenes up. We
right.
review it, and the nude scenes are a part of the review. So that was number one. But number
it's like sorry for cutting you off, but it's like when you're doing a late night TV show, you're allowed to show clips, but if you show a clip, you have to talk about it.
Well, you got to get editorial comment,
a clip.
Right?
Yeah, then it's commentary.
But the bigger factor over time, I think, is now, you know, here we are 10 years into it. I have over 75 studios and PR companies that send me screeners of DVDs even before they're in the stores, so that we could review them and talk about them. Because my platform, I mean, we get 5 million movie fans or nudity fans mm-hmm. coming to the website that are so into this stuff that we could promote it at our website. Plus, you know, I have this platform where I mean, to be able to come in here and talk about some of these movies. These aren't exactly movies that, you know, a lot of things, if we bring up an actress where I tell you she's been naked, it isn't exactly something that you would have ran out to the video store because of the movie itself. I mean, I'm promoting it because of the nudity. It's great free publicity for the for
right.
the studios. And,
right.
You know, again, we've become kind of a marketing arm for a lot of studios and PR companies.
Well, they put the nudity, I mean, they pay Halle Berry the extra $500K to take the bikini top off, so more asses go into seats at the theater, and that's yeah. just more eyeballs and more money. So this is just a natural extension of that then, right?
Right?
Just
yeah,
give
no
it to
question.
You.
I
and
mean,
especially if it's, you know, Van Wilder Part 9 and yeah. you know, Boner Van Vacation or something that's going straight to DVD. No one may have heard of this. Let's get it over to Mr. Skin and get some eyeballs.
Right, and we have a lot of that, too, where we get tipped off. Like, they'll, even before we get the DVD, they say, hey, we got a movie coming out with some great nudity. Want you guys to know about it. We can blog about it in advance. When it comes out, we could be on top of it. I mean, here's the thing. I never say bad things about movies. All I'm saying is I'm happy such and such was nude in the film.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Richard Roper, who sometimes he's going to see a movie and rip the crap out of it, but that's his job. I'm going to see a movie and say, you know what? I don't care if the movie was good or bad. This star was naked for 8 seconds. Great.
Yes. And here's where you can find yeah. it. And you have a photographic memory for that stuff. Or maybe it's one of these things where your mind has remained razor sharp because of constantly picking out moments and times and celebrities in movies. I mean, in a weird way, this is some kind of retarded exercise, some kind of retarded brain exercise. You know, like they'll do that thing with athletes where they'll, you know, have them look at a board and the board will have numbers on it and the numbers will be different colors and they'll run in place and it's like this fast twitch
right.
recognition thing so they can spot curveballs from sliders and sliders from fastballs. Maybe you should be a baseball player, but maybe
I used to be.
Maybe this thing has turned you into a genius.
No.
Okay. But you do know the moment in, I mean, when we talk about the Halle Berry movie,
Swordfish. 38 minutes in, right.
There you go. I'll tell you one of my favorite, you know, newer to the boob movie scene. You can tell me what's going on with her. We talked about her before. I don't know if she's a European actress or not, but great set of cans from like Survival Island or whatever that
Kelly
crappy
Brooke.
Movie.
Kelly Brook.
Yeah, I got to tell you, those are my kind of boobies.
Yeah, she's a UK babe, and that movie's had a bunch of different names. Survival Island 3. It was on cable a bunch. And
no ass.
Yeah, the boys are pulling it up right now. Yeah,
yeah.
She's gorgeous. Some of the best breasts of all time.
Great. She is spectacular looking. Yeah. Great cans, great looking, great accent.
If I'm not mistaken, she's with Billy Zane. Remember Billy Zane from Dead Calm?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's his...
Yeah, he was in that movie with her. He was really a wood killer. Because every time his big fat bald head would pop up on screen and, it added. But... yeah, he was in it. She was in it. I didn't even have the sound up. I think something sank. They end up on an island, and next thing you know, she's going after a lobster with her top off.
Right.
Yeah. What else has she been in?
That's her nudity kind of. That's her nudity career. Right.
Well, tell
there.
Her to do more.
Yeah,
God damn it.
I know. But she's that scene alone, and we mentioned that. That's her only nude scene, but that made my top 100 nude scene list of all time, which we recently released. In honor of our 10-year anniversary,
mm-hmm.
So it's funny you picked that out. I love it too.
Well, who do you have coming up? And here she is, naked again in the movie. By the way,
yeah.
Who's now? There's some stuff. There's a couple of notable stars that are doing nude scenes coming up. Am I making this up? They're doing stripper movies and
I think one. It's not coming up, but it just came out this year in 2009 was Jessica Biel in Powder Blue playing a stripper.
Yeah,
and you know, as you know, she has one of the best bodies in Hollywood,
sure.
No question about it. And in Powder Blue, she does a scene at the hour and 8 minute mark, a striptease scene that I just thought was incredible. And she not only does this long striptease on stage, she caps it off by pouring candle wax on her breasts.
So, really?
You know, one nice. Of the problems that I've seen over the last couple of years are these actresses that play strippers in movies and then they don't strip, but yet guys are still sitting in the... They're paying money and drinking beers to watch actresses not strip. Only in the movies would that happen.
It's that flash dance thing. There's a bunch of you know, construction workers. The whistle blows. They go to the local titty bar, and they're sitting there, and the chick's doing some artistic interpretive dance, and they're all clapping, and really they'd just be screaming, show us your tits, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah,
I mean, beer bottles would be flying. It'd be like the Blues Brothers. Any tits in that movie, by the way?
Oh yeah, there was a little in Flashdance, but unfortunately it wasn't for Jessica Biel. But the thing about the stripper thing is you got Jessica Alba in Sin City. She was a stripper, and she's up there in long pants on the stage. And then even Lindsay Lohan, and I know who killed me, big hype, hey, Lindsay Lohan's going to play a stripper in this movie. As it turns out, she never strips. So one of the things that was really cool about Jessica Biel is, number one, it was her nude debut. That's always very important.
Sure.
The first time you get to see her naked. But she actually played a stripper who did a striptease, which is great.
Yeah. All right. So now, 10-year anniversary. The studio's essentially come to you. No legal problems.
No, we've been here for 10 years. It's not like we fly under the radar either. So.
And again, in the movie Knocked Up, sort of, it was a nice tip of the cap. Did you know in advance that they were going to do that? Highlight your website and Knocked Up?
Well, what happened was Knocked Up came out in June 1st of 2007. The summer before, I got a call from a lawyer at Universal saying, listen, the guy that did The 40-Year-Old Virgin, his next movie, he wants to know if he could use your website in the film, or we want to know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people said to me, well, wow, didn't you get paid for that? Or did, you know, and I said, my thought at the time was, is that the guy that did 40-Year-Old Virgin, it's got to be a good movie. You know, it was Judd Apatow. It's going to be a good movie, I would think. It's going to be big. I said,
is Judd Apatow nude in any movies?
No.
86 minutes, no, 31
no,
seconds.
No, I wish I had that for you.
So,
but,
well,
yeah, but anyway, I said,
Mr.
sure.
If Mr. Sack had gotten off the ground, maybe we would have some Apatow footage.
And I could be asking you.
So
they asked me, and I signed.
Right.
I said, no problem. I don't want to, you know.
Free advertising.
Free advertising. But, and quite frankly, I've thought about this. Other than Reese's Pieces and E.T., mm-hmm. As far as product placement in a movie, what they did for MrSkin.com and Knocked Up, it was a $250 million movie. Mm-hmm. Everybody saw it. And it wasn't just product placement. What they were saying is, we've been working all movie on a website that we think is going to be great, but this guy's already doing it better. We give up. It's basically
right.
So, I mean, just it wasn't only product placement. It was what they said about the thing. So, in the end, it was truly a great boom for our website. And, you know, I still to this day, if people don't know me, I was on a plane this morning, and the stewardess saw Mr. Skin somewhere, and she says, what's this Mr. Skin? And we said, well, you know, have you ever seen the movie Knocked Up? And she's like, oh, yeah, okay, I know what it is. And it's a way for people to identify more of the mainstream, people that don't listen to radio as much, to understand what MrSkin.com is.
Now, how big an operation is this? Is it in a commercial building? Do you take up several floors? How many employees do you have?
We have 35 total. Mm-hmm. And we have we're in Chicago in a neighborhood called Bucktown, and we have about 4,500 square feet. I have the content guys in the back, in the literally in the dark, because they need the good view of their screen, because they can't miss a nip slip. You know,
sure.
I mean, you get reflection, you can miss stuff.
Sure.
So these guys are back there, and that's a big part of my organization. Are the guys that go through all the movies.
Uncomfortable situation where you have to let go one of the viewers. Like, the game has passed you by. 21 minutes, 41 seconds in, you missed a nip slip, and it's time to hang it up. Turn in your jack rag. You're out of here. Like, you've lost your edge. And the guy's, you know, he's getting into his 40s, but he's trying to hang on. He's like,
well,
Brett Favre. And he's like, coach, I got this. I just got these prescription glasses. I need, this is my only gig. I can't find another job where I get paid to look for boobies and be movies all day.
And the answer is, it hasn't gotten to that point. We haven't had guys miss things, but one thing that's happened that's made it real difficult on the guys is this whole Blu-ray experience now, because mm-hmm. Blu-ray is 6 times the resolution of DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, we had movies we'd already been through. I mentioned Roadhouse as an example. So like, we had been through Roadhouse, and Kelly Lynch had a scene where you could see her butt and you could see her breasts in the scene. When our guys were going through it on Blu-ray, as she's walking away from the camera, on their computer screen, they could, like, blow up the butt.
Sure.
And through the butt, you get the rear burger. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so it's like,
oh,
so now we had to change her to breast, butt, and bush.
She missed rear burger.
Well, but you
could. Well, it was only through technology.
And that's the thing. We just found, you remember About Last Night with Rob Lowe and Demi Moore.
Sure, yeah. He was going to open a restaurant.
Right.
Yeah. And, so, I mean, you had nip and ass, but you didn't know about the burger until the Blu-ray brought out the burger. By the way, to me, greatest advertisement for Blu-ray.
Exactly.
We'll find you burger in movies where you thought there wasn't any.
We even found, this is how sick it's gotten, James Bond, the Sean Connery Thunderball from 1965. There's a scene where he's on a raft.
Mr. Sack.
Well, no, it's the girl next to him, Claudia Auger.
Uh-huh.
He's on a raft with her, and on Blu-ray, you could zoom in, and there's, like, you could see Bush coming out of her thing.
I mean, sure, that counts.
I know it's sick, but we counted
it
as Bush.
Work.
See, we even blew up the rear burger for you.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm sure her teenage kids are delighted.
Oh, yeah.
It was always funny in that movie because Swayze's out there blowing a butt. The guy was a chain smoker in it, but he wasn't kicking ass or chain smoking. He was doing Tai Chi by the river.
Yeah.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah.
Like, if you made that movie today, would you make that guy a heavy smoker?
No.
He went to the bar. He didn't drink. He just drank coffee.
Yeah, because he was a health nut.
He was a health nut. I swear to God, every free second the guy had, he was doing Tai Chi down by the river. And then he was blowing butts.
Yeah.
That guy would not be
yeah.
a smoker in yeah. today's movies.
Yes.
All right, so, and About Last Night via Blu-ray with Demi Moore and Rob Lowe. And I think Jim Belushi was in that movie,
Yeah, and it was
too.
Filmed in my hometown of Chicago in
Very
Lincoln Park.
Very Chicago-centric
yes.
movie.
Yes.
A lot of softball, lots of guys eating hot dogs
you
and
got
drinking
it.
Beer.
You yeah. got it. But, yeah, we found a never-before-seen bush shot in a famous movie that every guy's seen. So Blu-ray's changing the lives of my content department. It's like it's back to square one. As soon as a movie comes out on Blu-ray, you got to go back. Sharon Stone and Basic Instinct, the leg cross scene in Blu-ray.
Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous.
Forget about blue balls. You got Blu-ray now,
right.
kids. So Blu-ray's really a step up from the DVD format. I mean,
again, six times the resolution. So, you know, I always like, I remember with the Sharon Stone Basic Instinct, when I first saw it, you know, you see it in the theater and it happens so fast, you're like, I can't
right.
wait till it comes out on video.
Right.
So you could do it with your VHS and do the freeze frame, which
yeah.
everyone did back and
right.
forth.
Right.
Then DVD came and it's like
that. I have some sad news for you. Not everyone. Not everyone.
All right,
that.
That's true.
Not
I,
everyone
maybe,
did.
Yeah, that's a good point. But
right.
then DVD comes out. You got this beautiful, high def picture.
Mm-hmm.
But then Blu-ray and it's to a whole nother level.
Right. So now the guys, so you got the shop, you got the 4,500 square feet, you have the guys in the back with the lights off. When the lunch truck comes out and they come out into the sunshine in the parking lot, do they all just go, no, my eyes,
that is,
my eyes, they're burning.
That's pretty true. They all go out for a smoke break and it's like,
it's burning. So they're sitting watching everything on Blu-ray format. They then find the nip slip, or they find what's her name's ass burger.
Well, and there's like a cell, like when they find
right.
never before seen nudes, it's like,
oh my God.
They come running into my office, Skin,
sure.
you got to come back and see this, look at this, and they go frame by frame. It's
right.
like a big event.
Sure.
It's massive. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of real important things going on at our office.
No, and so you have those guys, you have the sort of tech guys that are, you know, and the money is made how?
Well, historically, our money's been made through subscription. We have a ton of free content, or if you just want to use our website for information, you asked about Kelly Brook. If you didn't pay a dime and went to MrSkin.com, you could read her bio, find out the movie she was naked, find out how far in the movie, and go rent it yourself. What we've done over time is we have, you know, over 17,000 actresses where we've chronicled every nude scene. The TV shows they've been on, and then the subscribers, the people that pay money, could see all those reviews, movies, and video clips and pics that go along with it. And it's an enormous database. You couldn't get through it in
IMTA, basically.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
it's you're archiving all this stuff.
Oh yeah.
And so the way the money is made, because I'm interested in this myself, because you know, I have a website and I have a podcast, and you know, some people say no subscriptions, some people say just have advertisements, some people say do some subscriptions, you know, put out one product and then have a premium for those, which is kind of what you're doing, right?
Yeah, you have, exactly. I have both.
Everyone can go to Mr. Skin and peruse, but if you really want the full Monty, so to speak, and by the way, with the Mr. Sack idea and the full Monty, it really, anyway, I can't live in the past. The point is, if you want the full Monty, then you subscribe.
Right.
And you get everything that's on the site.
In high definition, you get all the Blu-ray stuff, you get all the work, but it's a huge database.
How much does the subscription cost?
Well, it's $4.95 for just, 3 days. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be a monthly member, it's $29.95.
Uh-huh.
And periodically we offer deals, like if you went, if you went to a hardware store and something is reduced at a certain week, we do that
too.
The Blue Ball Special, that kind of thing. So
Now, how many subscriptions or subscribers or subscribees do you have?
Well, I don't know the exact amount. I mean, the bigger, I think, to outside people looking in is, we get anywhere from 4 to 5 million people a month that visit the website. Now, obviously a percentage of those join. It's not a huge percentage, but
right.
you don't need that.
And
I don't know the exact amount, but it's a substantial number.
You can sell advertising on the website as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for
now,
sure.
How does that work? It's just based on, here's how many eyeballs come to the website each month.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways you could do it. I mean, like we did one way is some sort of a pre-roll situation with our self-produced content. Like, for our top 10 video countdown, which, by the way, thank you very much for being a part of. It was hilarious what you did for us. We counted down the 10 greatest nude scenes of all time and had, celebrity commentary from you and some other people. And in 1 week, we had over 2.4 million views at break.com of that video. Well, what you could do, not necessarily for the break situation, but in general, you could do a pre-roll before that. Getting a lot of eyeballs out. You could get paid for that. You could get paid just for the amount of impressions. Like, we get 20 million page views a month at our website, so you get pennies on the page view. You can make money that way. There's a lot of different ways you can go. Of sponsorships, when I do the Anatomy Awards, I could have the Anatomy Awards sponsored by.
Sure.
So every situation is different. It's really how you want to monetize it.
Are you making quite a bit of money doing this? Are you comfortable?
Well, I mean, obviously the website itself, subscription-wise, yes, very comfortable, greater than my wildest dreams. The day I started this 10 years ago with me and one tech guy, I never dreamed I'd be able to get to sit here and do interviews with a guy like you. I never thought we'd get all this traffic. I never thought I'd be able to do this full time. So from a money standpoint, completely blown away, never dreamed. But for the future, I really think what we're trying to do is trying to get kind of our brand to not be so reliant on just subscriptions, try to produce our own content, try to get corporate sponsorships, get our content on the phones. There's a lot of other ways for us to make money off the brand. That's where the the next years are going to be.
And where do you think all this, so I'm sort of with your, where you were at 10 years ago, which is just exploring this whole internet thing and trying to figure out what the future is and trying to figure out, which way the wind's blowing. I know the computers aren't going away. I know more people are turning to computers for entertainment and content and things like that. But is there, and for me, doing a podcast, when you can listen to your podcast in your car, when your car comes with essentially,
or on your phone, which is huge.
That's your phone. Too. But for me, it's about you wake up in the morning, you start your car up, you have your cup of coffee in your hand, you hit your stereo, and I've been preloaded there waiting for you to help you with your commute to work.
Right.
So there's certain technologies that we're waiting on. But where do you think this is going, just big picture? I mean, people are going to get away from their TV, or their TV and computer will be one?
Well, I think in your situation, because, if you go online and research, which I did, I wanted to learn as much. I've listened to your thing many times. I love your podcast, but I went online just to see about you know, how many people download it. I mean, it's crazy the amount of downloads you're getting. So just from the standpoint of in this world, you're like the king. So good things are going to happen, whether it be with advertisements, subscription, phones. I mean, that's to be determined, and
right.
depending on your situation with your old radio station, sure. I understand that. But the bottom line is you're in a great, great spot, and it's a show, and there's a buzz about it. Like, I can't think of any Radio Guy podcast where people actually talk about it. Everywhere I go, I hear, even from other guys that I do appearances on the radio show, off the air they'll say to me, that podcast, I love that, I wish I could do that, da, da, da. And it's so you're on to something. It's just a question of how you want to monetize it.
Well, I guess the plan is to be on to something first and then try to monetize
it. Well, no,
it.
But
and
that's my thing. You've solved the problem. You got the traffic, you got the downloads. Now it's a question of what you want to do.
No, I just philosophically, for those of you who want a little advice, you know, when I started out in this business, I can't talk to Mr. Skin with all the nudity that's on the thing.
A little Wildcats with Goldie Hawn there.
Yeah, and who was the chick before this with the giant jugs?
Oh, Kelly Monaco from Idle Hands.
What the hell?
She's a former playmate.
Oh,
she's wearing like Paul Stanley makeup while showing her cans.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. They're counting down the top 100. They're at number 66.
Oh, okay.
So we have a ways to go.
Jeez, Kelly Monaco, number 66. I would have moved her up in the power rankings.
Well, her star power wasn't there.
Oh, I see.
There's a whole formula.
What year was she a playmate?
In like 97.
All right. I can't look at this. I'm going to have to like handle myself, or someone's going to have to scotch guard the sofa or something. You got to turn it off. I can't focus. What I was saying philosophically, kids, is I'll put it back on. Come on. I'll just glance. I'm a professional. I can watch the monitor and do the countdown. Philosophically, what I was saying, kids, is, you know, when I got started in this business, and it's the same as Mr. Skin.
By a weird fluke.
And people said, well, you got to get headshots, you got to get agents, you got to come up with a resume that says you're into equestrian and archery and you do a Cockney dialect. And I said, who gives a shit about all that stuff? I got to figure out, I got to be good.
Right.
Like, I have to have a voice. I have to come up with something. I need a hook. I need an angle. I need to start doing stuff. And, you know, the headshot and the resume, what good was that? I didn't have a product.
Right.
And I did it, and when I finally got onto the radio, I just did it for free. And then, you know, eventually they started paying me next to nothing.
But you built a fan base that allowed you to get paid. And
right. My friends would say, they'd say, how much are they paying you? And I'd say, I'm doing it for free. And they'd say, you're a sucker. And I'd say, no, I should be paying them because
right.
in a few years, I'm going to cash in on this. And I'm guessing Mr. Skin kind of went the same way.
I mean, yeah, because I had a guy, a show I go on a regular basis. I was talking to them once and they said to me, you know, if you had even if you had this website,
mm-hmm.
but if we asked you, hey, has Jennifer Aniston ever done a nude scene? And you said, while on the air, well, I think she does. Let me go and check my website and get back to that. He said it never would have worked as a guess.
Right.
The hook was that I could go on the air and they could ask me questions. I could tell it off the top of my head. So whereas you had, when you started Voices or your comedy or whatever you were doing, that was your hook. Well, my hook was, even before I had books or websites or anything, was I for 2 or 3 years would just go on shows and ask me, ask
Hold
me
on,
nudity.
Hold on, someone's given a blowjob on one.
Oh
of those
yeah,
shows.
We.
How'd that get
well,
in?
Well, we have Brown Bunny, number 49 on the Greatest Nudes. You remember Chloe Sevigny with Vincent Gallo?
Yeah,
that's in a mainstream movie. That's why we included it. It played at the Cannes Film Festival.
I never did catch that. Although when the twins get old enough, they're only three now, so in a couple of years, maybe we'll go rent. We'll get Brown Bunny on DVD, on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, you know, you might accidentally do it because your kids will think it's a kiddie movie.
Hey, who wants to see play with the Brown Bunny? Yeah, now it's think Dora the Explorer if she was going down on Diego. Diego. Oh, Jesus. Not enough that I have to watch shitty cartoons. I have to watch them in fucking Spanish all morning. Diego, hey, ¿cómo se dice, Diego? Muy bien. Really? What country are we living in? I can't even just watch shitty cartoons. I have to be in Spanish now? Stupid Dora the Explorer,
yeah.
Diego.
My little ones watch that, too.
Let me say this about that. What is the big, like, you want to know the biggest cop-out in the world? Because you have to watch, how old are your kids?
5, 3, and 2.
Perfect, because I have 3-year-old twins, so I have to watch all that shit. And every single thing's the same thing. Hey, everybody, Mr. Moose has a quiz, and it's 3 cats, and 2 of them are red with white spots, and then 1 of them is black with red spots. It's like, one of these cats is different than the other. Can you tell Mr. Moose? And I remember when I was a kid, it was like Sesame Street. One of these things is not. They have like 2 circles and a triangle.
Yep.
They have like 2 watermelons and then an orange. First off, we are going to figure this out, right? It's not like I'm going to be 45 and be on a car dealer and the guy's going to go, you went to Red Taurus? I got a couple of red Tauruses over there and a green Taurus. Which one do you want to lease? Hold on. Slow down. My head's spinning. What? Green? I don't know the difference. All those cars, they look exactly the same. I cannot tell the difference. Don't you just learn the difference from shit? Do you really need to watch TV? It's always like, oh, it's educational. It's more educational than them dropping acid and going to the desert or pounding themselves on the head with a shoe. But I don't think it's much more educational than that. And it's such a cop-out, these people who do these crappy TV shows. One of these things is... Hey, it's R.W. Moose here. There's 3 cats on here. One of them's different. Yeah, no shit, Moose fuck. Jesus Christ. It's such a cop-out. Isn't it a cop-out? And then, and by the way, my kid just sits there like one of the heads from Easter Island. Like, they never even point at the TV. Right. And then Mr. Moose goes, can you tell me which one of these is different? And he goes, excellent. And meanwhile, my kid hasn't said a fucking word. Like, so where's the praise coming from?
Yeah, I do the same thing where I actually get to the point where when Dora says you're supposed to say something, like,
right.
What is this? And they're supposed to say backpack. If they don't say something, like, I'm offended. Like, you know,
I know.
Like, so it's the first time I'm, like, disappointed in my kid.
Yeah, I know. Like, hey, it's backpack, backpack, back. What is this? Come on, someone say conch shell, would you, so we can move forward here? Mr. Maps coming out and the swiper, stop swiping things.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a black hole of creativity.
Yeah, it's
the
terrible.
Dora the Explorer thing, just the idea that her sidekick is a monkey.
Right.
How fucked out is that premise? You know what I mean? I mean, for Christ's sake, Speed Racer had a fucking monkey sidekick in the 60s. I mean, you know, it's really, it's like doing art for retards, essentially. Hey, we'll do one of the, you know, I can see them all just sitting around their boardroom going, well, we got to do some content. How about we do the 3 cats, 2 black ones, 1 red one, and then CW Moose will ask which one's different. Done. Let's go to lunch.
Well, think of the difference of what we were watching as kids and what they're watching. There was no educational thing in Speed Racer. There were car crashes. There was death.
There was violence. I know. And it was, well, I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I like to see, you know, Pops Racer kick a little ass with a monkey wrench or Chim Chim or Spridle in the trunk of the race car. It was just good, wholesome entertainment. It really was. But I don't know if it had... It may not have had a great positive effect because as soon as I got my learner's permit and as soon as I got behind the wheel of my dad's 78 Volkswagen Rabbit, I said to my buddy who's in the car with me, we got to catch some air. We got to get air. We got to get all 4 tires off the ground. And I went over to the train tracks where they have that kind of hump that goes up to the train tracks. And I said to him, and this is, by the way, this is how, you know, I've been ruined by TV. I said to him, hang on, Starsky. And I dropped that thing in a second, and we went for air. And it had to be from watching too much of this. Now, I don't know, what's my kid going to do when they're 16? Hey, let's go find a monkey and save the rainforest. Go down a zip line over the canopy. Go find an Incan pyramid or something. I don't know why. I'm annoyed most by Dora the Explorer.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
I don't like Diego, her cousin. I think he's banging her, by the way. Mr. Skin, look into that.
I'll see if I get a...
Minute 26, yeah. Adore the Explorer. I think Diego's banging that
Wait till it comes out on Blu-ray.
Oh, I know someone's going to find a nip slip on Dora. So, yeah, Diego and Dora, and it's super condescending. Everything's said in English, and then it's said in Spanish, and then they're talking... And by the way... what kind of message is this? The kid's out hang gliding and jet skiing and rappelling and what? My
in the woods
pissed.
On their own?
Yeah, the kid's out in the rainforest on a jet ski. What the fuck? You know what I mean? My kid's like, what? So what do? We go down to the mall and I watch you buy sunglasses for 2 hours, and then we come back in a Range Rover? What kind of life is this? I should be rappelling over the canopy in the rainforest, right? I hate that cartoon. I can't. I don't know if you've noticed this, Mr. Skin. You ever watch the cartoons that you think are weird and you go, what's wrong with this? And it turns out they're out of Canada or out of Quebec or something. Oh. Like there's ones like Caillou.
Yeah.
You watch Caillou and you're like, why is that little shit bald? What's wrong with him? Does he have cancer? And then things look different. The colors are different. Things are a little like, I always say to my wife, like, I'll be like, I smell a foreigner here. This is not American made. Something's weird here. And then you read the credits and they're all like French, Canadian, whatever. Caillou does that. Little Bear does that. Oh, stupid Little Bear. Stupid Caillou. Making millions and millions of dollars with the lunch pails. And
how much money does that Dora franchise make? I mean, you go to any store, go to school, Dora's everywhere.
My kids get, you know, lunch pails and helmets and knee pads and, you know, backpacks and bottles. Every sippy cup's got Dora's fat face on it.
We have a Dora scooter at home.
It's so sad, too, because here are these people, like, they're not creative enough to do anything for adults. And there's this whole thing where it's like, oh, they do stuff for kids. No, they don't. They wish they could do shit for adults. We're talking about Judd Apatow. They wish they could do what Judd Apatow is doing, or Mr. Skin is doing, or Adam Carolla is doing, but they can't do it.
Yeah, but they're making hundreds of
millions
of dollars.
They don't have the brain power to do it, so they do shit for kids, which, again, is like doing stuff for retarded people.
Right.
So that's what they do, and then they make hundreds of millions of dollars, and as a society, we all have to applaud. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And whenever I say to my wife, what the fuck are the kids getting out of watching this bald kid from Canada run around with stupid colors? Look at him. Look, he's got crazy red shoes and everything. Everything's like, blue hair, and the car wheels are like yellow and stuff. Like, oh, this teaches them how to interact. Really? Because they sit, first off, they look comatose. Like, my kids just stare. They just stare at that shit like they're in a coma, you know?
That's true.
And they never act. Whenever Mr. Backpack asks them where Mr. Map is, it's not like they ever answer.
No.
And then that whole thing where it's like, oh, well, you know, they learn language. Well, wouldn't they learn
That swiper could be coming up with a machine gun behind Dora. My kids would just be...
Just
wouldn't warn her at all.
Here comes Swiper the Fox. Do you know where Swiper the Fox is? Where's Swiper the Fox?
Guy's got a gun.
Yeah. It's fucking behind you with a machete. Go take her goddamn head off. Put an end to this fucking madness. Swiper. Poor foxes, by the way. What'd they do to anybody? You know what I mean? Get a bad rap. So one of these animals that we're like, they're thieves, but we hunt them. And they have a lot of range in cartoons. For every shitty fox, there's a nice, warm-hearted, kindly fox.
They mostly get shit on, though.
Yeah. I know, and they're weird animal to shit on. Like, you know, I understand alligators. Look at them.
Yeah.
You know, they're no party. Look at them. But a fox, you see a fox in real life? Well, what's it doing? It's running from a dog.
Right.
Is it doing anything? When's the last time a fox gave you a problem?
No, never. Have you ever seen one in real life?
I've never even seen one. Right. I've only seen it. The only one I've ever seen is on Dora the Explorer. Right. And all I know is they're kleptomaniacs.
Yeah, with the thing around it, tied around.
They wear the bandits thing. Yeah. Fox doesn't want to be recognized.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Like, what's the plan? He gets to take that Zorro mask off and then go back and hang out with Dora?
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's probably one of the bad foxes. Oh, he wears gloves, too. Yeah. And I don't like it when... You know what I don't like? I don't like it when they dress animals up like Yogi Bear would just wear a tie and a collar, but then he'd just be nude. That kind of weird. Kind of weird, like, right? Look, there's Yogi. Like, he's got a hat, a tie, and a collar, but where's his balls in? Like, is he dressing or isn't he dressing? Like, he's the most formal, informal bear in the forest. Like, I like to wear a collar. I like to wear a tie. I free ball it. I let my balls hang out. Like, if you're going to put a collar and tie on the guy, why don't you put some goddamn underpants on him? Swipers wearing a mask and gloves, but he's got no loincloth.
Right.
Put something around the genitalia. Porky Pig, I forgot about him. He's got a bow tie.
And he's actually even opening the jacket to show you the junk, you know?
It's creepy. I mean, there's nothing creepier. Like, just in life, just seeing a guy walking around with a bow tie and a blazer and nothing else on is the creepiest look ever, right?
That's more of an old 50s and 60s.
Daffy Duck is wearing the top part of a sailor's outfit, which, again, is, you know, as gay as porn gets. I mean, it's all wrong. It's all wrong, Donald Duck. All right, so the kids now are you married or divorced?
I'm married. I've been married 6 years and have 3 kids. So.
How do you you don't wear a ring? How'd you get past that one?
You know what? I don't know. I just don't like them on my finger. It's not like a,
I don't either.
Yeah, but you.
But you know what I mean? Yeah,
like if you're at the health club and then it hits, you know, I just
that's
don't.
Good. That's good. That's good. Right. And what about lightning?
Yeah, lightning. I would say my wife's cool. She lets me go to the Playboy Mansion porn convention, so I was able to not have to wear the ring.
Well,
but it's not a sign of...
She knew she was marrying. I mean, when you agree to become Mrs. Skin, you understand there's, you know, a deal that's made there,
right?
Yeah,
she... You know what else about it, too, is... You know how, like, you have friends where their wives are psychotic with the jealousy crap?
Crazy.
I mean, think of
busters.
This. Like, I have a suitcase. I'm kissing my wife goodbye, you know, to the airport, you know. Hey, going to the Playboy Mansion for that Playmate of the Year lunch and see ya, honey. I mean, and she's totally cool with it, but yeah, you got to feed the kids, right?
But it's also funny, like, you never want, there's part of you that wants to have a talk with the husband and the wife when there's always that buddy, he's 5'7" and a half, he's 261 pounds, he has male pattern baldness. And the wife freaks out because he went to the strip club.
Right.
And it's like, did you really think he was going to bang one of those 19-year-old hotties?
No.
You're fat. He's a substitute school teacher.
Right.
He's short and fat. He's got a nice big Friar Tuck bald spot in his back. Bad hygiene. And she's doing that thing where it's like, I don't need him. And did any of those girls talk to him at the bachelor? It's like, sweetie. Do you think that gross guy with the hair on his face, you think any of those chicks are going to let them? He can't.
Plus, he gets on triple secret probation for like a month. That screws your fun with the guy. Yeah.
Well,
we all have those friends.
Those guys have the wives. Oh, I do. I know a lot of guys with crazy wives. And it's weird. Like, first off, when did women get so goddamn crazy? Were they always this crazy? I think they're going nuttier. Like, half the guys I know are married to a crazy woman.
But back in like Mad Men era, the man ran the house. So if he wanted to stay out drinking after work, that was fine. Now it seems you got to be home to help with the kids. Did our dads ever change a diaper? Did our dads ever, you know what I'm saying? Were they...
No.
On Saturday, my dad was in front of the TV, you know, drinking beers and watching football. Was he taking me to the park or anything?
Right.
Yeah. It's different now.
Yeah, no, it is, and I'm wondering, and I know this is going to sound horrible and condescending and, you know, sexist and elitist and all that, but, you know, I do that all the time, so fuck it. The point is, I think women need some boundaries, a little containment, sort of like kids. Like when you tell a kid, hey, man, do whatever you want to do, whenever you want, to whoever you want, they start to spin out. It's a weird, it's like...
I agree.
People sort of like...
I agree.
It's a natural thing, like meaning like... You see, like when I had a cat, the cat liked to sleep on top of the refrigerator. Why? Because it didn't want to get stepped on. It didn't know what was going on in its environment. And if you take like animals will sleep not right in front of the door in the entry hall. They'll go into the, sort of the corner area or they'll get up on their chair or whatever. They like things sort of contained, and they like to sort of know where they are. And it's weird. Like, if you wouldn't want to go out to the salt flats and just sleep in the middle with no walls and no roof and no sense of containment, you know? And so what women have been saying in the past, in the salad days, in the Mad Men era, they were sort of contained.
Right.
Like, their husbands were like, get in that kitchen, start cooking, make me a highball, and I may be staying out late. There are a couple of Japanese clients are coming in. I got to entertain them, if you know what I mean. So don't wait up for me. And if the chick said anything, it'd be like, hey, I'm putting a roof over your head, ain't I?
Right.
Now go make a pot roast and get out of here.
And they didn't have other wives that were out doing fun stuff to, like, get... Like,
right.
It's like all the wives were
everything was contained.
Right.
And then at a certain point, somebody said, you know what, man? You don't have to cook for him. You don't have to clean for him. You don't... Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. And then all those wives got together, and they started doing whatever they want, and their brains started turning on them. Where is he? What's he doing? And all of a sudden, too much time, not enough containment.
Right.
Not enough containment. Just like a kid, I'm telling you, the worst thing you can do to a kid is just let them freak out, just
right.
run wild.
That's
they
true.
They start to freak, like they need a regimented
totally.
Life. They need like a little Pop Warner football, a little guy and a windbreaker yelling
yep.
at them, you know, drop and give me 20 kind of thing. If you just go do whatever you want, they say they want it.
No,
but you
don't.
Give it to them, and they start freaking. I think the reason a lot of my friends' wives are nuts is because they're not being contained. Like, and I tell them all the time, well, what the fuck? Tell her to shut up. What do you mean? Don't let her get away with that shit. Dr. Drew, pee-whipped. Pee-whipped, man. The dude is
really?
Pee-whipped. Oh, my God.
And he's Dr. Drew.
He's Dr. Goddamn Drew. And the first thing he needs to do is get to the lab and make a salve for his ass because he is so pee whipped. It's unbelievable. And I remember one time you say your wife lets you go to the Playboy Mansion.
It's right. just part of the job. You know?
Yeah, that's not a thing. I don't ask my wife if I can go to the Playboy Mansion. I tell her
right.
I'm going
There's
to
not,
the Playboy
it's
Mansion.
Never a,
I got
right.
work. I'm going to the Playboy Mansion.
The
if you
is.
Ask, then you lose some of the containment we
right.
were talking about. So, and they start to go nuts, again, for their own good, So, Dr. Drew, here's how pee-whipped Dr. Drew is. We go to the Playboy Mansion because they're filming Politically Incorrect. This is 10 years ago.
Right.
And Bill Maher's up there doing PI at the Playboy Mansion. He does it doing the whole week from the Playboy Mansion. So, we go up there, and now we used to do Loveline, which you probably heard in the Chicago Q101 way back in the day. So, we'd have to be in Culver City to do Loveline every night at, 9:45. The show started at 10 o'clock out
right.
here, right? So, when we would do something like Politically Incorrect, we would tell them, what time do you take? And they said, well, we're doing the Playboy Mansion. We're doing like a 7 o'clock show and a 9 o'clock show or something. We say, well, we got to do the 7 o'clock show because we got to cut
right.
out and get to Loveline. So me and Dr. Drew went up to the Playboy Mansion. There's Bill Maher. And, it's no Sodom and Gomorrah. It's cameras. It's the whole ABC show brought up to
right.
the Playboy Mansion. Yeah, there's hot chicks wandering around, but it's, totally professional. And he's filming. So Drew and I shoot the first show and split, basically. We go to the Playboy Mansion. And next thing you know, his wife finds out. And his wife finds out, like, hey, you were at the Playboy Mansion and you didn't even say. And I said, well, he's at the Playboy Mansion working. And she's like, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me. It's that bullshit thing that everyone hides behind where they go, I'm not mad that you went to the Playboy Mansion. I'm mad that you didn't tell me. Really? If he was just picking wildflowers for you, would you be mad that he didn't tell you he was going to pick you wildflowers? Of course you're mad. Admit you're mad
right,
that he went
right.
to the play. And so he didn't take. And so he was apologizing. He's like backpedaling and apologizing. And I said, look, here's why he didn't tell you. He didn't tell you because of this. Because you freak out. And what happens is people treat you like a kid. You start freaking out over everything, over something that's totally innocent. He's
right.
going there. He's, by the way, this is his livelihood. This is his career. He's promoting himself. He's
right.
promoting his book. He's promoting our show.
Right.
He's promoting whatever. And he knows he's going over there to do nothing, although he's an idiot because it's going to be on TV in 2 days. I don't know what the fuck he's thinking. But like, she's not going to find out about it. But she finds out about it. She starts screaming at him, and he just keeps going, I know, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I know, I'm sorry. And I said, Drew, don't tell her that because that makes her more out of control and gives her more momentum. Tell her, shut up.
Container.
Get out the net like they did on the Planet of the Apes. Come upon her on the horse. Boom. 26 minutes, 41 seconds in, nip slip, the chick with the Charlton Heston, you can see part of his sack when he mounts the horse. Mount Source, 41 minutes in. You can see some sack on the beach. I'm pretty sure with the Blu-ray.
Let me go back and look at that on Blu-ray.
The point is, I said, throw the net on her, contain her. This is what she wants. This is what, I know I sound like a misogynist. This is what she wants. You backpedaling, A, makes it seem like you did something wrong, and you didn't, and B, she starts stumbling forward, and now she's out of control. So I'm yelling at him, tell her, hey, knock it off. Settle down. Cool your jets. I went there. It was professional. I did it. It's part of my livelihood. Then I went to my second job,
right,
bitch.
Right. Did she get mad at you for that? Did she know that you were in his ear?
I talked to her on the phone. We did it on the air, I think.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it's funny. Whenever I yell at Drew's wife, and I do it a lot, he always sits back with some sort of bizarre look of satisfaction, like, well, I didn't want to do it. But, somebody's got to do it. I have this weird relationship with Drew's wife where I can tell her anything, and she never gets pissed off. Like, I can just like go, you're nuts, shut up, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And she'll be like, oh, get out of here. And, like, I don't know what it is. She's impervious to my criticism or something. We were in a town car once, and she yelled at the driver to slow down. And I was like, this is why my town car driver drags his ass everywhere. Don't listen to her. And then we started fighting in the car. I wanted him to speed up. But the point is, I can say anything to her, and he doesn't care either.
Right.
It's sort of healthy, I guess. But, I mean, yeah, Drew, he whipped and likes it. It that way.
That's tough. And you're right. If the guy lets it happen,
yeah,
he deserves it.
So some of your friends, nuts.
We all have them.
Wives are nuts, right?
We all have them. And then he's the guy that, you know, when all the guys are going to Vegas, you know, four guys are a lock. And then there's three guys that are iffy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not iffy because of their job or money. They're
right.
iffy because of the wife.
Yeah. It's like City Slickers with Daniel Stern. 21 minutes, 46 seconds in,
you
when
see,
he's mounting the horse.
Turkey gizzards getting on the horse.
There's some sack there. Mr. Sack. God, I got to get this going. So, yeah, and those guys need to step up. But the problem is, you know, you're bringing home the bacon. You know, I mean, you're Mr. Skit.
Yeah, it's not like I could go get a job in accounting or a lawyer. This is it. I have one way to make money in my life.
I know, but you're making a nice living, and this falls under the umbrella of your livelihood. The problem with some of our buddies who are married to the nut jobs is she's a legal secretary, and he's a butcher, and she makes $8,000 a year more than he does.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he ain't wearing the pants anymore. It's hard to really lay it down when you take a look at the tax returns, and she put a little more in the kitty than you did.
Yeah, that is true.
That is how mad men work. You went out and made the money,
well,
thus you called the shot.
It was 100% to nothing back then.
Right.
I mean, the man, there wasn't no women work back then.
Right.
You know, very rarely.
And were we more unhappy? I feel like we were happier.
Our moms were around when we were kids, you know?
Yeah. All right, good point. Mr. Skin, should we give anything a plug? Because where did the time go? It's been almost an hour.
No, it's a riot. No, just MrSkin.com, celebrating our 10-year anniversary. And your guys back there, I could tell, have been having fun on the website going through the top 100 nude
now,
scenes.
Now, can we give away who number one is?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let me. Maybe you could guess. What do you think's the greatest nude scene in the history of mainstream movies?
Wow.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but
that's fine.
But I think when I tell you, you'll agree. But if it comes to your head, you'll probably say it. But there's so many nude scenes to go through.
Of course, Jimmy and I parodied Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yep.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Well, here's
Phoebe Cates is hot. She hasn't done a lot of movies. This is sort of the only nudity she's done, right?
Well, also, she did a few nude scenes other than this, but this scene where she pops her top in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I consider the greatest nude scene of all time for a lot of reasons. One is it came from a great movie. We all quote Fast Times, right?
Sure.
The slow motion as she's getting out of the pool. And I'll ask you a question, or any guy, when you hear, and you're driving around and you hear moving in stereo by the cars, what do you think of?
Pavlovian wood.
Yep. Right.
Like all of a sudden, the kids are in the car.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You could be passing an accident where a guy was beheaded on a motorcycle. This wood.
Wood.
Full wood. You know, van full of illegals turned over. Five
Doesn't
of
matter.
Them trapped under the van. Full wood when you hear moving in stereo. Yeah, I know. I had to take the Cars CD out of the rotation because with the twins around, Dad just couldn't walk around with a boner
can't have
all
that.
Day.
You can't
Well, it's
have
true.
That.
It's true. And I wonder, like, for Phoebe Cates, like, she's obviously fairly reclusive. Like, she doesn't give a lot of interviews.
She's had one film credit, one, since 1994. So she's been married to Kevin Kline and living in New York or wherever they live and raising her family, which is cool. But that's another reason.
Is this... Now, I just wonder if anyone could ever have a conversation with her. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Like, on one hand, she's 43 years old now, and probably doesn't look like she looked back then.
I did see a recent picture of her, and by the way, she still looks hot, but she was, like, 19 when she did
right.
this.
So she's never going to look better than this.
Right.
It's sort of, she's an American icon in a way because of it. On the other hand, maybe she thinks it's embarrassing. On the other hand, maybe she's not uptight at all and just thinks, hey, it's beautiful. I looked beautiful. Why the hell not?
Yeah, I mean, she did the scene. It's out there. It's out there. People remember it. All we're saying that in the history of all the nude scenes I've seen, all the celebrity nude scenes I've seen, I think that's the greatest of all time. There shouldn't be any stigma to it. I hope she's flattered by that, but what are you going to do?
As far as Mr. Sack goes, just after she kicks in the door Judge Reinhold, you can see some... What you have to do is there's a soap dish. There's a chrome soap dish.
You see the reflection?
You can see the reflection of some of Judge Reinhold's sack. I've only figured this out through Blu-ray, but you can see some of Judge's sack through the reflection. It's backwards. It's inverted, I think it is. It seems upside down. It's hard to tell with sack, like left sack, right sack, north, south sack. It's hard to tell, what direction your sack is facing or where it ends and where it begins. You know what I mean? But on MrSack.com, you can catch, just as she kicks in the bathroom door, you can just catch a little on the chrome soap dish there. All right, so Mr. Skin, doing the Lord's work, 10 years and going strong.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Be awesome when your kids get old enough to find out what Daddy does.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Adam Carolla for Mr. Sack. And until next time, this is me and him saying mahalo.
Follow Adam Carolla on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Reach him via Skype at Adam Podcast or through the mail at Adam Carolla Podcast, 10061 Riverside Drive, number 276, Toluca Lake, California, 91602.